song, an African-American spiritual, comforted the oppressed many years ago. As we prepare our hearts for our service today, let's remember that Christ knows our humanly suffering and stands in solidarity with us. Let this song be an anthem of comfort and hope to us all in FCC.
Oh. rolled away. Were you there when the stone was rolled away? Oh, 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 sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when the stone was rolled away?
Welcome to our Easter Sunday service. Will you rise in body and spirit as we go together and read out the call to worship? Out of the darkness of grief and despair comes a message of hope. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. We run to the tomb to see for ourselves, and it is true. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. We hear a voice call our name, and we know our risen Lord is with us now and always.
Christ is risen indeed.
Thanks be to God.
Come, let us worship the risen Christ.
Is all I have of wealth. I break it at your feet, Lord. It's less than you deserve. You're far more beautiful, more precious than the oil, the sum of my desires and the fullness of my joy. This alabaster jar. This alabaster jar is all I have of wealth. I break it at your feet, Lord. It's less than you deserve. You're more beautiful, more precious than the oil, the sum of my desires and the fullness of my joy.
Every heartbeat.
Please be seated, and please join us for prayer. We thank you, gracious God, that Easter is not about a people, but all people, that your love and your salvation are for all who confess with voices, hearts, and lives, that the tomb is empty because Jesus is risen, that we might know forgiveness, that lives might be reborn, in your name, glorified now and for eternity.
Blessed be God forever. Risen Christ, as Mary Magdalene met you in the garden on the morning of the resurrection, so may we meet you today and every day. Speak to us as you spoke to her. Reveal yourself as the living Lord. Renew our hope and kindle our joy. And send us to share the good news with others.
Amen. God of life and love, your love story with all of humanity is the greatest story ever told. We pray for all who bring your word of life as a light to those in darkness, for those who bring your word of peace to those enslaved by fear, for those who bring your word of love to those in need of comfort. Lord of love and Lord of peace, Lord of resurrection life, be known through our lives and through your power. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah. May this declaration resound not only in these walls, but touch the lives of all we meet and forever be the truth for which we speak. Hallelujah! Christ is risen!
Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
May we invite you to stand once again in body and in spirit and join the worship team.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone, because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future.
Please be seated. So welcome to our Easter Sunday service. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So before we go into our little sermonette for today, don't worry, it's very short. I want to invite you to get onto menti.com because that's a way for us to interact a little bit during the sermon. We only have a question right at the end, but if you get onto menti.com, you'll also get to follow through with the slides as we get to the end. And we'd love to hear from you, though, because at the end, we want to give you some time to reflect. This has been a momentous week, right? It's not just Easter, but the whole of Holy Week. And if you've journeyed with us from Palm Sunday right up to today, you would have kind of tasted a little bit of what that journey was like together with Jesus. And so you can use the QR code or the short link, fcc.li/menti, and it'll take you to the slides for today. Okay. So we journeyed through Holy Week and encountered Jesus' last entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, Jesus' last meal with the ones he loves, Jesus' last words at that meal, the command to love one another as we have been loved, in Jesus' last prayer at Gethsemane before being betrayed, in Jesus' last moments on the cross. On Good Friday, all of Jesus' disciples and followers thought this was the end. They thought all was lost. At that moment, all they knew was darkness and despair. No more hope. No more Messiah. No more deliverance. No more Jesus. The sense of loss and grief sank in during the silence and tension of Holy Saturday, that sacred liminal space between death and life, darkness and light, uncertainty and celebration. But on Sunday, with the light of dawn, as the women disciples led by Mary Magdalene arrive at the tomb to embalm Jesus' body, Jesus showed up in a way that shocked them beyond imagination. That dead, lifeless body was no longer lying there. In fact, death no longer had its hold. Yes, Jesus was put to death for the way he loved. But death had no hold on him. Love had triumphed over death. So this year, Miak and I decided to look at Holy Week and for us to journey through Holy Week together through the eyes of Jesus' women disciples. Women have often been overlooked in church history, but they are very significant to the whole Easter story. We started Palm Sunday with the woman with the alabaster jar, anointing Jesus' feet with perfume. Because unlike the male disciples, she understood what Jesus was telling them, and she knew he was going to die. So this was her ultimate act of love and devotion. And this act of love carries through with Jesus' own act of love and devotion when he washes his disciples' feet during the Last Supper on Maundy Thursday, reminding them to love and serve one another as he has loved and served them. And then on Good Friday, Miak helped us see the crucifixion through the eyes of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and how her Magnificat became a song of deep faith and resolution in the face of death on the cross. And now, we are at Easter Sunday. Early in the morning, we are told in John's Gospel, Mary Magdalene and other women disciples go to the tomb to embalm Jesus' body, but they find that the stone had been rolled away and his body was nowhere to be found. They were confused at first, and Mary Magdalene started weeping in the garden of the tomb because She didn't know where Jesus' body was taken. And then Jesus appeared before her. And at first, she thought he was the gardener. And he spoke gently to Mary Magdalene until she recognized it was him. "Rabboni," she uttered with awe and wonder. And then Jesus gave her a charge, sending her to go tell the others that he is alive. You know, she was the first witness to Jesus' resurrection. She was the first to see the resurrected Jesus, the first disciple to be sent out with the good news. A woman, no less, a woman apostle, at a time when women were considered unreliable witnesses and couldn't even testify in court because their words were considered unimportant. So Jesus' choice of a woman to be the first witness to his resurrection and appointing her to go tell the others was so significant that the early church gave Mary Magdalene the title of Apostle to the Apostles. Apostle to the Apostles. However, that title diminished greatly over history and was actually only recently revived by the founders of the Junior Project, as well as Pope Francis himself. So it might be the first time you're hearing this title for Mary Magdalene, for some of us, right? Women were considered by society as unreliable witnesses in Jesus' time. But what Jesus was saying in giving Mary Magdalene that charge was this: "This is exactly why I chose you. I want the world to know that regardless of your gender, whether you're female, male, or non-gender conforming, you are equally beloved and your voice is equally important. You are worthy not only of love, you are worthy to be called my disciples, no matter what the world says. You are worthy to be called my disciples." So Mary became the apostle to the apostles, the very first one to share the good news of Christ's resurrection. Imagine the man with the water jar witnessing all this. We know that fetching water was actually a woman's job at that time in history. So it's very unusual for a man to be with a water jar. And that's why they could recognize him, right? When we're trying to look for the upper room. And at the very least, the man with the water jar was performing a non-gender conforming role. And he must have witnessed Mary's testimony and thought, the very first apostle was a woman? What does that mean for someone like me? Imagine the woman with the alabaster jar witnessing this as well. What does it mean that Jesus, this Jesus that she anointed her with her tears and perfume, is alive? What does it mean that he entrusted this very important good news to a woman and asked her to tell the rest of the disciples? In the same way, what does this mean for people like you and me today? Whatever the labels the world has used on you, they have led you to think that you are not worthy or your voice is unimportant. Easter is the day that Jesus overturned all that. But you know, that wasn't the only thing that Jesus overturned. With his coming back to life, Jesus overturned the power of sin and death. No longer are we under the power of sin and death. We have been freed, liberated from the power of sin and the fear and finality of death. Because of Christ, we are victorious. We are alive. Easter is not just a celebration of new life. It's a celebration of new life that overcomes death. It's a celebration of new life that emerges after the worst of all possible tragedies. It's a celebration of God's power that gives hope out of the worst of defeats. It's a reminder of God's power that inspires and empowers us to keep creating life as it ought to be in this kingdom of God. You notice that Mary's conversation actually takes place in a garden. It was the garden of the tomb. And I never really truly understood the significance of gardens in the Bible until I went to the Garden of Gethsemane in Jerusalem quite a few years ago with a group from FCC. We had some time to spend by ourselves in the garden to reflect, to meditate, to pray. And later, we also had a time of worship and reflection together in this little cave called the Grotto of Gethsemane. And some of you may remember this. So as I was preparing a short message for that time of worship and reflection, I realized for the very first time that the Garden of Gethsemane was not just the place where Jesus wept and agonized. The garden was also the place where God was birthing something new. In the face of death, God was birthing a new thing. And that's what gardens do in the hands of a skillful gardener. What is God's resurrection vision for us? It's for us to recognize Jesus in our midst, just like Mary Magdalene did. It's for us to trust that love is stronger than death, even when the darkness feels overwhelming. It's for us to see that we are co-creators with God, to rebuild our world, our environment, our financial systems, our institutions, our communities, and our churches in a way that comes closer to the kingdom of God that Jesus initiated on the back of that donkey with her little colt trotting alongside her. Easter is about allowing God the gardener, life giver, resurrector, to transform us, renew us, resurrect us, so that in turn, we can transform, renew, and resurrect our world. And this continues to be our call and our cause for celebration as we proclaim, Christ is risen! Christ is risen indeed! Hallelujah! But it doesn't stop there. Easter just doesn't just stop with rejoicing and celebration. There's also a call to respond. Like Mary Magdalene, Jesus is giving us, each one of you, a charge. Regardless of your gender, whether you're female, male, non-gender conforming, regardless of all the other labels the world uses on you, Jesus is saying, you are equally beloved. You are worthy not only of love, you are worthy to be called my disciples. My disciples. And just like Jesus charged Mary to go tell the others, we also have been charged to do the same. Now that you have witnessed Jesus' power over sin and death, now that you've experienced what it means to be loved, will you go out and tell others the good news? Will you show them that they are equally beloved too, no matter what the world has been telling them? You are not only worthy of love, you're worthy to be a follower of Christ. You're worthy to be a disciple, an evangelist, an apostle, someone who will tell and show others that they are loved too. Will you choose to pour out your life, your gifts, yourself for the sake of the resurrected Christ? And so today, as we end this short time of reflection, I wanted to ask you to participate and to think a little bit as you reflect over Holy Week and Easter. What has God been speaking to your heart this Easter, this Holy Week? We've been through a little bit of a spiritual journey together. And maybe different things have stood out to you. Maybe you had heard the Spirit of God speaking to you in special ways. Maybe it was today. Perhaps something in the songs had spoken to you. Perhaps something that we were sharing just now spoke to you. I want to leave this space open for you to share your reflections. What has God been speaking to your heart this Easter or Holy Week? I love that, to live and spread love, not hurt. That's absolutely it, right? That's what we were called to do. We were placed here to be beings of love, to be loved and to love. To love God, to love my neighbor, love myself, yes. The greatest commandment. I'm beloved, I'm worthy, just like every other human being. Christ is here with us, yes. Telling me to 加油, yes, press on. Right? God is a gentle griever. That's beautiful. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Yeah. Working in a job to serve the nation. Hope in moments of trembling, I guess, in fear. We have Jesus, so life is worth living. Yes. To remember my calling and to live it out courageously and victoriously. Yes, indeed. Be brave. There are no bad decisions, only decisions that are not made. Mm-hmm. Forgive, love, transform. We are enough. Indeed. We are enough. To work towards creating God's upside-down kingdom here on earth. Yes, amen to that. To be reborn again. Yep. The call to return to God. Mm-hmm. We love imperfectly, but we are still called to keep loving. Yes. It should not stop us, right, to keep loving. Remind me that God is the center and source of my life. Indeed. I just realized today is Transgender Day of Visibility. Yay! I'm grateful for all our transgender siblings in our midst who witness to the power of God's love and inclusivity. Yes. Thank you for that. Thank you for remembering. To seek God first in all things, to trust in a process, because God won't lead me wrongly. Renewal of God's promise for rest for our weary souls. Be kind to one another. The agape of God. God is a God of possibilities regardless of situation. Allow myself to be part of a community. Allow myself to be ministered to. Thank you for that. Sometimes it takes more vulnerability to allow yourself to be loved and to be ministered to be served, than to actually serve others, right? So thank you. Sometimes life gets really hard, and Jesus fully understands that. It can be unfair, it can be painful, and there can be suffering, but He is risen. So in Him, I can face tomorrow and press on. Amen. To journey with others, you are loved. We can go to God as we are, whichever state we are at, because God accepts us as we are. Thank you. All things that ended will be reborn, perfection, imperfection. I love that emoji. It's beautiful. Thank you. God the Restorer. Love is difficult but worth it. God is my gardener. He's working on growing me on a daily basis. True for all of us. God's unconditional love is enough for me to forgive and to seek forgiveness from my own father, whom I just learned has passed away in 2022. Thank you for sharing that. That there's a place for me in the church. Yes, there is. And welcome home. Be loved, be safe, and be inclusive. Mm-hmm. Today is my third as a Christian. Yay. Congratulations. Thank you so much for sharing all of this, and please continue sharing your responses. What has God been speaking to your heart this Holy Week? Right? Because I know that the Spirit of God is moving in us. And even as you type in your responses, I want to invite one person to share his response, his testimony, because Bram is going to be baptized today, He is our baptismal candidate today. I wanted to get him to share his story with you before we do the baptism. So, Bram, will you come up? And will you welcome him?
Hi, my name is Bram, and this is my testimony. So I will first start off in 2006. You know, I was still in secondary school, and I was working part time after the N level examination was over. So as you know, part of my job scope, I was doing a public survey. So one day, right, I bumped into a group of people who invited me to church for their Christmas service, and this was my previous church. I initially agreed to go, and we exchanged number, but later I realized that I couldn't make it due to work. So fast forward to 2007, I remembered, you know, there's this one guy who was very persistent and kept calling me, you know, almost every Friday throughout 2007 to invite me to church, and I rejected his invitation time and again. It's quite sick out, actually. The reason for finally agreeing to go to church, right, was because I was awaiting for my results and I wasn't working then. So this was, you know, towards the end of 2007 already. And I went to church, right, with the 去玩玩而已 mindset lah. And little did I expect myself, you know, to make a decision to get up to the altar call and finally make a decision to accept Christ as my Lord and my Savior. So actually this thing was totally unexpected. So in 2008, right, it was the year, you know, that I joined the youth ministry for tertiary students. And this lasted until 2013, so that was 5 years. And during this period of time, I you know, served as a befriender within the cell group. So within 2013 to 2023, which is until very recently, I moved on to another cell group that's for the young working adults, you know, and that was additional 10 years. And I served mostly as a guitarist within the cell group and, you know, as well as the backup vocalist. Once in a while, I was arrowed up to lead worship, and this was especially so when the main lead was pregnant, lah. So, so in the early 2020, right, I signed up for baptism in the previous church then, but was later informed that all activities were not be continuing until further notice, because that was during the COVID season when we had our circuit breaker and things like that. It was also during this period when I was also serving in the worship ministry as a choir member. So that's like 9 years. And fast forward to the 31st October, that was when reality hits me in a phase of which something hurtful happened in the worship ministry of my previous church. So the crux of the matter was that I was removed from the worship ministry, which I've served there for 9 years after the church leadership found out about my sexual orientation. And in 5th November, right, last year, I made the painful decision to leave the previous church, and that was already after 15 years, to join FCC for the first time, because I did not want to continue wearing a mask while having to hide my sexual orientation, because it actually feels like leading a double life, which I didn't like it. Of which, right, I felt more free to be myself in here. And you may have seen me shamelessly wearing the black tee with the rainbow colour in the middle, which is what I'm wearing now, being out and proud to everyone else who were present then and right now. Yeah. And soon I decided to call FCC as my home. After which, right, it didn't take long for me to decide on baptism, of which I was already very certain about this decision to get baptised. And baptism represents a pivotal moment in this journey. It's a symbolic shedding of old burdens and embracing a new beginning with Christ by my side. It's not just a ritual, it's a profound statement of my commitment to walk hand in hand with God, embracing my authentic self without fear or reservation. As I embark on this new chapter, I carry with me the lessons learned, the friendships forged, and the unwavering belief that God's love knows no bounds. My decision to get baptized isn't just a milestone, it's a reaffirmation of my faith and a testament to the transformative power of God's grace. So with gratitude for the past, hope for the future, and hearts filled with joy, I eagerly anticipate the journey ahead, knowing that I'm not alone. And so lastly, thank you all for being part of this journey, and I look forward to continuing to work together with faith, love, and authenticity. Thank you.
Thank you, Bram.
Thank you. So we are going to have the baptism liturgy now, and we're going to invite Bram to just stand in front here and face the congregation. Yes, and we'll stand in front of you, okay? Okay.
So we have confessed many understandings of baptism as a sacrament, as a symbol, as a sign. Some of us were baptized before we remember. Others only later when we said, "I believe." Whether immersed, poured upon, or sprinkled, it's your action, gracious God, that defines our baptism. Having put off the old nature, we have now clothed with Christ.
There's no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer slave or free. There's no longer male and female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Behold, God is making all things new.
In baptism, we honor possibility and celebrate the sacredness of life. Let this water be for us a sign of our desire to join together in our love for God and for one another.
So, siblings in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are joined into Christ's holy church. We share in the story of God's mighty acts of salvation, and we receive new birth through water and the Spirit.
Those who are baptized and would like to renew your baptismal vows are invited to join the baptism candidate, Bram, in his response. Bram, do you desire to be baptized in the faith and family of Jesus Christ?
Yes, that is my wish.
Do you promise, by the grace of God, to be Christ's disciple, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice, and to witness to the work and the word of Jesus Christ as best as you are able?
I promise with the help of God.
Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to grow in the Christian faith and be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, celebrating Christ's presence and furthering Christ's mission in all the world?
I promise, with the help of God.
All present here, will you witness this new beginning for our newly baptized friend? Will you keep him in your prayers, help him, share with him your ministry, bear his burdens and forgive him and encourage him?
We will. God, bless this water, we pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit. May it remind us that we have been born again into new life, that we remain faithful until we are reunited with you in the life to come. Amen.
Amen. I baptize you in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Mother of us all. Amen.
You may stand up.
Creator Spirit, strengthen Brahm with your gifts of grace to love and serve as servant of Christ, to share in Christ's royal ministry, his priestly ministry, and his prophetic ministry.
I present to you servants of the servant God. May he reflect the glory and image of God.
Our hands are the hands of Christ to shape the kingdom of God. Our hearts are the heart of Christ that will dream the kingdom of God. Our mouths are the mouth of Christ that will speak of the kingdom of God. Our legs are the legs of Christ that carry the news of the kingdom of God. Amen. Thank you.
So this is our gift for you, our 20th anniversary book that tells our story. And welcome to become part of that story as well.
Welcome home. So today, other than baptism, we also have the welcoming of new members in our midst. And before we do the membership liturgy, which all of us will be involved in, I'll just share with you one of the testimonies by one of our new members. And her name is Janice. Some of you may know her. She would prefer not to appear on camera. So I'm going to read her testimony on her behalf. Okay. And so this is from Janice. And she says, "Returning to Singapore after a three-year overseas work assignment, I was searching for a specific type of church. Having cycled through several churches as I relocated from one country to another, I knew what works and what doesn't work for my faith. My home church must be inclusive and affirming, as well as steadfastly Christ-centered. To me, the twain actually overlaps. Who is Christ if not welcoming to everyone, regardless of whom you love or the label the world gives you? However, in this country, it is usually not the case, except for FCC. So why FCC? In particular, I benefit from how open the pastoral leaders are to exploring different theological perspectives for spiritual formation. Instead of dishing out trite answers that boil down to, the Bible said so, the sermons inspire me to ask the right questions about God and to find my own answers. FCC met me where I am, and I met Jesus at FCC, both in the everyday church life and in exceptional circumstances. I felt his presence as we share a table and eat during the Mandarin ministry sessions. I saw him as the community rallied around the sick and dying at a hospice. So why membership? I could conceivably have carried on my church life in FCC without becoming a member. So why did I take the trouble to fill up the application form and be interviewed by the pastor? Because I care about FCC. Because I care. At some point in my discipleship, it stopped being, what can the church do for me? But became, what can I do for the church? I care about FCC's mission to give voice to the minorities and the marginalized. I care that the next generation of gay and transgender Christians and their allies may not feel free to worship or be denied a welcoming church to call home. If you have been attending FCC as a visitor and is considering membership, I think the question to ask in prayerful meditation is, how much do you care? As a member, you get to vote to ensure corporate governance and shape FCC's future. We cannot make an impactful difference to an organization if we only sit on the sidelines to cheer. We need to step up sometimes and enter the arena in order to move the needle for the community in a meaningful way. So in summary, becoming a member of FCC feels like joining a community dedicated to following in Jesus' footsteps, spreading love, courage, and grace wherever we go. And I'm grateful to be a part of this journey with you. Thank you. I look forward to learn, fellowship, to serve alongside each and every one of you. Janice. Thank you so much, Janice. And so we will go into our membership liturgy called the Liturgy of Belonging this morning. And we have some new friends, three of them actually, including Bram, Janice, and Cheryl, who are making a decision today to join this body of Christ as a member. Can I invite them to stand where they are, and will you please welcome them? Cheryl is actually here behind the camera, okay? Already serving, huh? So you can't see her, she's blocked here, okay?
In addition to introducing you and welcoming each one of you as a member of FCC, I would like to invite all members of FCC present to stand and join our hearts together to respond to these questions. Very emo, huh? If you're visiting with us and or not yet ready to be a member of FCC, please allow us this time as we go through this together that you too will consider what it means to be a part of this body of Christ.
Dear friends, is it your wish to make this community of faith, FCC, your church family, and the people with whom you will share your journey of faith? Is this the place, and are these the people with whom you will seek to make sense of the issues of your life, your dreams, your faith, who you are, what you are to do, and who God calls you to be?
Yes,
that is my wish.
Is it your wish to make this place where you continue your journey into growth and wholeness, where you listen to the story of God's salvation and the good news of Jesus Christ, allowing Jesus to be an example and teacher to you, where you are called to a life of love, compassion, ministry, and justice, and where you're fed at the table of new life?
Yes, that is my wish. Will you commit yourself to seek and serve Christ in unity with this community of faith?
I will, with God's help. Will you pledge your spiritual, social, and financial support to this community of faith?
I will, with God's help. And to all the existing members, will you, who are members of FCC, who are witnessing these promises, share the joys and sorrows and do all in your power to support these new members in their life in Christ?
We will, with God's help. Will you welcome these new members into our family? Embrace their gifts, their needs, and their dreams. Will you recognize that their presence and participation will change the shape and the body and help it grow in new ways? Will you support them in their journeys and assist them in their ministries?
We will, with God's help.
Together.
Loving God, send your Holy Spirit to be among us, knitting us one to another. Help us to grow with each other, to love each other, to support each other, that by sharing our lives in this community, we may come to know and serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As the Executive Pastor of FCC and speaking on behalf of the whole congregation, I welcome each one of you as active members in FCC. May the Holy Spirit be with us all now and always.
Amen. Now, together as a body of Christ, let us reaffirm who we are and reaffirm the role and the call of Free Community Church. Together.
We are a church that is free.
Free in Free Community Church is a proclamation of freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. It is also an acronym for First Realize Everyone is Equal. The good news that we are all equally created in the image of God, equally accepted, embraced, and loved exactly as we are by God. Amen. Thank you so much, everyone. Please be seated. And now we go into a time of communion together as a family of God.
The cross is two lines intersecting.
The cross is where sorrow meets joy, pain meets healing, fear meets faith, death meets resurrection, hate meets love.
This table is at the intersection where two lines meet. This table is the declaration that love is stronger. Love is stronger than hate, stronger than death.
This table where we break bread is a table of love, the center from where love flows. This table is one of awareness, awakening, of forgiveness, of salvation, of love.
The disciples did not recognize Christ when they talked theology, doctrine, interpretations.
They only recognized Christ when they broke bread at the table.
This table is the ritual table. But the real table is the table where we sit and eat and drink every single day.
Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. All who come to me shall not hunger, and all who believe in me shall not thirst."
With Christians around the world and throughout the centuries, we gather around these symbols of bread and wine, simple elements that speak of nourishment and transformation. Let us pray. Loving God,
we thank you that you are as close to us as breath, that your love is constant and unfailing. We thank you for all that sustains life, and especially for Jesus Christ, who teaches us how to live out an ethic of justice and peace, and for the promise of transformation made manifest in his life, death, and resurrection. We ask you to bless this bread and this cup. Through this meal, make us the body of Christ, that we may join with you in promoting the well-being of all in creation. Amen. Remember on the night when Jesus and the disciples had their last meal together, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat it, and as often as you remember, do it, remember me." In the symbol of the broken bread, we participate in the life of Christ and dedicate ourselves to being his disciples.
In the same way, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This cup is the new covenant, poured out for you and for many. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." In the symbol of the cup, we participate in the new life Christ brings.
Can I invite the stewards to come forward to help us distribute the elements? Thank you.
Here at FCC, we celebrate an open table. This means that we make no requirement of you. You don't have to be a member of FCC. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to. All you have to recognize is God's grace is sufficient.
Let us partake of the elements together. Please rise in body and spirit, and let us pray together. We give thanks, loving God, that you have refreshed us at your table, strengthen our faith, increase our love for one another, as we have been fed by the seed that became grain and then became bread. May we go out into the world to plant seeds of justice, transformation, and hope. Amen. So please be seated. And I'll invite the worship team to come up again. Yeah, actually, you can remain standing as you're able and willing in body and spirit
to join the worship team.
So that you can join the worship team in the last song.
Stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him. Final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness, a battle in the grave. The war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away, his perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? A resurrected king has rendered you
is glorified forever. He is lifted high forever. He is risen. He is alive. He is alive. Here I am. Take me. Your prayer as I'm offering. Here I am giving every heartbeat for your glory. Take me.
Please be seated. So, I'd like to welcome all of you to Free Community Church Easter Sunday service, where Free stands for First Realize Everyone's Equal. I just wanted to share, paraphrase something that I read online about the Easter season, which spoke very much to my heart. So, Easter Sunday has never been my favorite church service, because it requires an emotional crescendo that my melancholy temperament cannot muster. It's like, crisis reason. Okay, crisis reason. All right, okay. But I've never been a big fan of hope either, because hope to me is a demanding emotion that insists on changing you. Hope pulls you out of yourself and into the world, forcing you to believe more is possible. Yet we know that Jesus offered the most dangerous kind of hope, that challenges us to relinquish our hostilities and reawaken the thing that we had long since given up, the belief in the possibility that things might be different. But take a look at the world now. Look at the wars that has been happening, fighting over lands and resources, or between communities just because they have different faiths. Or look at the discrimination against the minorities just because some of them are different, and some of us are different from each other. Look at poverty. When 1% of the richest of the world owns 40% of the resources, how is it possible that poverty still exists? Despair at least allows us to give up our resistance and rest for a while and not do anything. Personally, I do not know many people who have committed suicide, but in the LGBTQ community, this is quite a big percentage. But I know lots of people have quit on life because, you know, we just live life day in, day out with no hope. And we are convinced that our story has ended here. But Easter reminds us once again that hope is indestructible, that on the third day after Jesus was killed, he is resurrected and returned to the disciples. Easter, then, is not a metaphor for new beginnings. It's about encountering the person who, despite every disappointment we experience with ourselves and with the world, gives us a reason to carry on. So even though the Easter season ends with Easter Sunday service, may we continue to be able to celebrate with songs of celebrations, not because there's no longer darkness in life, but because there still is and we need hope to carry on. So I'd like to welcome all of you. After this not very uplifting sharing, but indeed there is hope. So welcome. FCC welcomes you regardless, really regardless of who you are. The door is open. So if you are new to FCC and you'd like us to stay in touch with you, leave us your details at fcc.li/welcome. We have a newcomers meeting every last at least one Sunday, last Sunday of the month. The April's newcomers meeting will be on 28th of April, immediately after service. If you are interested, please send an email to info@freecomchurch.org to indicate your interest and someone will reach out to you. We have come to the giving segment of the service. For this year, because we have already paid off our mortgage for this place, so we are actually looking at doing a renovation since we have another 13 more years to stay at this place. So you can see up there, there's actually two funds. One is a general fund, which pays for the salaries, the general upkeeping, the maintenance, etc. And there's a renovation fund, which we hope to raise 100,000 by June so that we can do a renovation of this place, whether is it huge or small, so that we can call this place our home for the next 13 years. So you may give by pay now by scanning the two QR codes. You may give by setting up a sending instructions. The account numbers are actually on the slides. Or you may give by credit card at freecomchurch.give.asia. That goes to the general fund alone. And the platform actually charges a 1.5% administration fee. So for those on site here who like to give by dropping something into the collection bags, later you may raise your hands and then the stewards will go towards you. Let us pray. God, indeed we give thanks to you for what you have given us. Human beings are such a, you know, we never remember our lessons. And we are such a forgettable, we forget about so many things. But this Easter season, thank you once again that you reminded us of your love for us and of the hope that you have given us, that our story doesn't end here, but that there's more ahead for all of us to achieve and to be called to follow in your footsteps. Though the path may not be easy, we just continue to pray for your guidance, for your sustenance, for your strength, and that as we, a community, to follow in your footsteps and to be able to discern what you call us to do in this society and in this world, we lift up all into you. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. May we ask the stewards to come forward to take up the offering. So this is the announcements for today. In April, we actually, FCC has got an initiative called SEED, which stands for Settle Easily, Engage Deeply. If you want to find out more about FCC, if you are new to us, SEED Season 18 is actually starting in April. It's going to be on the four Sundays in April at 12 p.m. immediately after service. It's probably around 20 minutes to 30 minutes kind of session to teach you, to inform you about the history of FCC, the structure, how is FCC organized, what is our theology, etc., etc. So if you're interested to join SEED, I mean, especially if you currently do not have a cell group or ministry which you are serving in, and you'd like to find out more about us, please send an email to info@freecomchurch.org to indicate your interest. Another initiative that we have is actually called CARE, Counting on All, Relying on Everyone. So if you need someone to pray for you, please immediately come forward after service and there'll be somebody on hand to actually pray for you if you have got any needs for prayers. So this is an empty slide because they just want to put an empty slide inside to create something about the cloud project. So as I was mentioning just now, actually the cloud project is about trying to reimagine this space for the next 13 to 14 years of what do you recall, what do you want FCC to be. So this is an invitation for all who are free today from 1 to 4 p.m. to come and tend to the future of our house. So there's actually two parts to it. But the idea is actually we want to know what makes FCC FCC. It was a question on one of the mentees in the previous Sundays, but I don't think, I mean, if you ask 100 people, there'll be 100 different answers. So whatever it is, we are trying to gather the opinions and then we're trying to gather the information and try to make this a place where everybody is safe to call home and there's a space for everyone. So do stay back after church, 1 to 4 p.m. immediately here for the cloud project. Last but not least, today there's also Lunch Khaki. Lunch Khaki is an initiative by the FCC Welcome Team. So today's lunch kaki will be Juliana and Chua. Hello, they are waving at the back. So if you would like to go for lunch, you'd like to find out more about SCC beyond the leadership and everything, please go to the back and meet up with Juliana and Chua for lunch today. Now I'd like to invite Pastor Miak to come and give the benediction.
May I invite you to rise in body and in spirit to receive the benediction. But before this, my favorite thing to do every Easter. Christ is risen!
Christ is risen indeed!
More energy.
Christ is risen!
That is a proclamation that we make as we step out of this house so that all will know that He is risen and God's love rules over all. May we tend to the world as the garden that is in need of restoration as we are invited to join the gardener in this hard work to restore what is broken, to bring back together what has been shattered, to bring love where there's hate, peace where there's war. This is who we are called to be, followers of Christ, the one who has conquered death, the one who is our teacher, our Rabboni. So go proclaim in all corners of the world, this is love, this is resurrection, and this cannot be overcome. Amen. Thank you for joining us this Sunday. We look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you.